And now, Don Blackwell.
If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And as we're reading through these verses, I want you to picture in your mind an old man who is full of regret, an old man who is pained by the lost years, the years that he did not serve the Lord, and the years that he cannot get back. Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' and while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened." Friends, Solomon is speaking to young people, and he's saying, remember your Creator while you're young. And then he begins to give a description of what it's like to get old. And what he says here is, remember the Lord before you get to the point that the sun and the light and the moon are darkened. In other words, he's talking about getting to the age that your eyesight begins to fail you. He says, and the clouds do not return after the rain in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He's talking about the arms. He said, when you get old, your arms begin to get weak and sometimes your hands will tremble. And the strong men bow themselves. Talking about the legs. They can't support the weight they once did. When the grinders shall cease because they are few. What do you think he's talking about when he describes the grinders? Probably a reference here to the teeth. And those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, he says you don't sleep like you did as a young person. Even the most subtle sounds will awaken you, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Probably talking about loss of hearing. Also, they are afraid of heights and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden. Probably when he talks about the almond tree blossoming, he's talking about the white blossom that he has, and it's probably a reference to the hair turning white or turning gray. The grasshopper is a burden. Even something that's very small is now becoming a burden as a man becomes old and frail and desire fails. For a man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Friends, if something is vain, it means that it is worthless. It means that it is empty. And Solomon says, now that I'm an old man and I look back over the experiences of my life, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says life is worthless. Now in verse 1, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. What he is saying is, young people, listen to me. Listen to me while you're still young. Listen to me while you still have your whole life ahead of you. Listen to me before the evil days come and before your body is worn out and the years of your life are drawing near to an end and you say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon is saying, listen to me before you get in this shape, the shape that I'm in, and your years are gone and you too sit back in pain and experience regret for the years that you can't regain. Now someone might say, how did Solomon get in this situation? Where did the years go? That's what I want to talk about in this program. And I want you to picture this old man Solomon. And I want you to roll back the clock of time in your mind to many years before. I want you to picture a middle-aged man. And then I want you to roll it back to a young man. Now here's Solomon as a young man. He has his whole life ahead of him. But there's something that's missing. There's an emptiness. There's a void in his life. There's a peace, a happiness, a fulfillment, a purpose in life that's not there. He's not experiencing it. And so he searches the world trying to do something about it. Friends, that's the book of Ecclesiastes. What's the purpose of this book, the book of Ecclesiastes? Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this book is to show us that everything is vanity except God and the keeping of His commandments. And Solomon is sharing his knowledge on this subject. Now sure, this book was written by inspiration. But you know what? Solomon knows these things firsthand. You know, when you read this book, it almost seems like it was written specifically for our generation. That's the power of God's Word. It's always able to do that. It's always relevant for all men of every age. And so today, we're going to examine several lessons that Solomon learned and warnings that he gives to young and old of every generation. Let's begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It's here that Solomon sets the stage for what he actually did in his life. Let's begin in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, that's Solomon. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon says, I have tried it all, and it is nothing but emptiness. Now, if you'll continue down to verse 9, you'll see the relevancy of this book. Solomon says, the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Prince Solomon's saying, there's nothing new out there. It's all been tried before. But every generation has those who will repeat the cycle. Every generation has those in this world who will search for that which this world cannot give. Solomon says, I've been one of those people. I have tried it, and I don't want you to learn the way that I have learned. Now, Solomon is a philosopher, and he's looked at life, and he says there is nothing that is worthwhile. Nothing makes sense. And finally, as a result, Solomon says, I hate life. Look with me at verse 17 of chapter 2. Solomon said, therefore, I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun is grievous unto me. All is vanity. Friends, it's very sad to read those words. He's saying, life is empty. I have found no meaning in life. And friends, separate and apart from God, nobody ever will. And that's the point that he's trying to make. Now today, I want us to notice some lessons that Solomon gives concerning his search for happiness, his search for fulfillment in life. He tried everything this world had to offer, and yet he did not find the answer until the end of his life. Number one, the first thing that Solomon tried in his search was wisdom. Solomon says, maybe in a lot of knowledge, that is secular education, we're talking about secular wisdom, maybe there I'll find the answer to life's problems. And Solomon made that his goal for a long time. If he could just learn more, that maybe that would solve his problems in life. But it didn't work that way. You know, there's a generation of people who thinks that way today. If we could just learn more, we would have the answers to all of our problems. And yet, I don't know that we've ever had a generation of people who are more knowledgeable than we are today. And I'm not sure if we've ever had a generation of people who have greater problems than we do today. And so, friends, you see that secular education alone is not the answer. And Solomon found that out. Now, Solomon was a very wise man. All you have to do is read the book of Proverbs. Solomon knew all about the field of biology and psychology. He knew about astronomy and about philosophy. No doubt, he was a great admirer and lover of art and of music. He was a very knowledgeable man, skilled in many ways. But despite his educational achievements, he never found in those things the purpose of life. In fact, Solomon said, in much wisdom there is much grief. In chapter 12 and verse 12 of Ecclesiastes, he writes, of making of many books there is no end, and much studiness is a weariness to the flesh. And so Solomon tried wisdom. That is, he tried secular education, but it didn't satisfy him. And friend, if that's your highest goal in life, it will never satisfy you either. Worldly knowledge has to be in subjection to biblical truth. Otherwise, you become what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and 22, where he said, professing yourself to be wise, you really become a fool. A A second thing that Solomon tried as he was experiencing the things of this world, searching for purpose and happiness, was wit. I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Solomon said, "In mine heart I said, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Enjoy pleasure. Behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it?" Now, what's Solomon saying? Now, he is thinking, I've been serious. I need to have some fun. I need to give myself to pleasure. Maybe that's where I'll find the answer. And Solomon tried humor. He tried wit. He tried laughter. But he didn't find the answer there either. Now, someone says, well, are you saying there's something wrong with humor? Not at all. Humor is a very beneficial thing at the appropriate time. But you know, there are some things and some times when we need to wipe the smile off of our faces, and we need to look at life very soberly and very seriously. But many people don't understand that. Many people don't want to look at life seriously. They just want to laugh their problems away. You know, sometimes as the gospel is being preached, people can sit in the assembly and they will laugh and they will joke, particularly when the invitation song is being offered. I think the reason is they don't want to face what's being offered at that time. They don't want to face the change that God requires for them to have in their lives, and so they laugh about it. And sometimes they try to get other people to laugh with them. They don't want to think soberly about where their soul might spend eternity. Another reason that some people laugh is because they are hurting inside. It's a mask. Some people laugh and they mock others only because they are hurting. And they think that somehow humor is going to take care of their problem. There was a man who went to see the doctor. And he told the doctor, he said, "Doctor, you have got to help me. I am so depressed." He says, "I have no happiness in my life. I have no purpose and no meaning. I don't know what to do. I don't even want to continue my life. I'm that sad within." The doctor said, "Sir, I can't write you a prescription for that." He said, "But I've got something else in mind that may help you." He said, "The circus is in town. I went there last night, and he said, there is a clown there you have got to see. He will make you laugh, and you will leave, your sides will be hurting. He's so funny." The man said, "I can't do that, doctor." The doctor said, "Sure you can. Just go down there, you'll see." He said, "You don't understand, doctor. I can't do that. For you see, I am that clown." You see, on the outside, the man looked like he was happy. He made other people laugh, but despite that, deep down inside, he was empty. Deep down inside, he was lacking something that laughter can't fill. Yes, laughter is good medicine. The Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine, Proverbs 17 and 22. But friends, that's not what life is all about. A third thing that Solomon tried was wine. He tried wisdom, he tried wit. He tried wine. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Solomon says, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold to folly, till I might see that which was good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life." Maybe he could drown his sorrows in alcohol. How many people do you know who want to do that? Maybe the answer is in the bottom of the bottle. But friends, the problem is, once you've allowed yourself to drink that stuff, and once you've allowed yourself to become drunken, you still have the same problems. It doesn't take care of it. In fact, now you have another problem. The answer is not in wine or alcohol. But Solomon says, "I tried it." And yet Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 tells us, "Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Friends, what more warning can the Lord give us than that? Drinking alcohol is wrong internally, externally, and eternally. It will destroy your soul, and it will not solve your problems. And while Solomon tried it, he said, "It's not the answer." Friends, I'll tell you, if you are a person traveling that type of road today, you've got real problems. And young people, young men, young women who are watching this program, if you're entertaining the thought of having a relationship with someone like that, you need to get out of that right now, because you are going to be in for a life that will be miserable if you have to live with that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, if there was ever anything that was unchristlike, it is the behavior of a drunkard. Well, Solomon said, I gave myself over to alcohol, at least for a time. He said, but it did not solve my problems. It did not bring me happiness. It did not give me the meaning or the purpose that I was searching for in life. And so he tried something else. He tried something that many people today think is the answer. Number five, Solomon tried wealth. So many people think, if I could just reach a certain level financially, I would be happy. If I could just have more things, if I could just get more stuff. Sometimes people will think, if I could just move into that house, then I would be happy. But what happens when they move into that house? They think sometimes, if I could just own that car, I would be happy. But what happens when they get that car? Friends, that's not the answer. Look at verse 4 of Solomon's writings. He says, I made myself great works, and I built myself houses, and I planted vineyards, and I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them, and I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove, and I acquired male and female servants, and I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. He is a rich man. Verse 8 says, I gathered also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. And I got men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts, so that I was great and I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Friends, here is a man that had everything that money could buy. But it could not buy him happiness. It could not buy him happiness or eternal security. Neither of those things can be purchased with money. I want you to ask yourself a question today. How wealthy are you? Have you ever considered that question? We need to from time to time. How wealthy are you? Take away everything that money can buy and everything that death can take away. And what you have left will tell you how wealthy you are. Take away everything money can buy and everything you will have left after death. What do you have? Friends, the answer is your soul. That's it. Just your soul. And that's why the Bible spends so much time pointing out the necessity of guarding your soul above all else. Matthew 16, Jesus warns, "What shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" Solomon tried it all, but it did not satisfy him. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, or chapter 5 and verse 10. Solomon writes, "He who loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Now what's he saying there? He's saying if a man loves silver, that's not going to satisfy him, because that's not the answer. He who loves abundance will not be satisfied with increase. That's why John D. Rockefeller, who at one time was the richest man on the face of the earth, about the turn of the century, Mr. Rockefeller was already a billionaire. And someone asked him the question, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much will it take to make you happy?" You know what he said? He said, "Just a little bit more." Right? Just a little bit more. He already had billions, but he wanted more. And you know why? Because, friends, billions do not satisfy. And that's exactly what Solomon is saying. I heard a story about a man who was very rich. He had a disease. He knew he was going to die. And so he said to his servants, he said, "Before I die, I want us to take all of my riches and put them in my attic." He said, "And then when I die and my soul ascends," he said, "I can get my possessions." Well, some time passed and the man finally died. And then some of his family members recalled that he had done that. And so they had the idea, "Let's go and pull down the attic and see." And so they climbed up into the top of the house, and all of his money, all of his wealth was still there. And it occurred to someone, maybe we should have put it in the basement. You see, that's not what life is all about. And that will not bring a man happiness. And if a man makes that his goal, he'll never find a home in heaven. The next thing that Solomon tried was wantonness, immorality. Look at verse 10. Solomon says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all labor. And this was the portion of all of my labor." You see, he is saying, whatever I wanted to have, I got it. Whatever I wanted to do, I did it. Friends, you know a good definition of sin? It is this statement: I'll do what I want to do. It's a violation, a transgression of God's law. It relates to selfishness. I'm just going to do my own thing. But friends, giving in to your own wants and your own lust is not the way to have happiness in life. Now, I know that that's the way a lot of people live today. And the Bible tells us about Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1 Kings 11 and 3. I suspect it was a part of this. Solomon was looking to different women to cure his lust, to cure his emptiness in life. Sometimes people today get that way. Sometimes a man today will decide, I would be happy if I had this other woman, and he throws away his marriage and he goes after this other woman. Many a young person has done the same thing. Many a young girl has sacrificed her purity. Why? Because she's looking for happiness. She wants someone to tell her that he loves her. One young lady told a Christian girl, she said, "I can't believe how conceited you are." You see, this girl was quite proud, quite pleased that she would go out and date as many boys as would ask her. She didn't mind the fact that she had a low standard of morals, and she mocked her friend who was a Christian because she didn't do those things. She said, "You don't know what you're missing in life. You need to live a little." Finally, the Christian girl could not take it anymore, and she looked her in the eye and she said this, "Anytime I want to, I can become like you, but never again can you become like me." And that's true. Never again can that girl regain her purity from the standpoint that she once had it. Solomon said, "I came up empty." And so he said, "I hate life." A sixth thing that did not bring Solomon happiness and purpose was work. But how many people do you know who have immersed themselves in their work, thinking that that's what life is all about? Chapter 2 and verse 11, Solomon said, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on all of the labor that I had labored. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." He became discouraged because after he'd worked all of his life, he realized he was going to die and it was going to be left to somebody else. And friend, if your career is your chief goal in life, then you've got your priorities out of order. Now sure, it may occupy your time, but it will not bring you happiness. Solomon said, "Though I worked hard, I still missed the purpose in life." And you know, Solomon had tried all of these things. He had it all, but it left him empty. When I think about that, I can understand why he said, "I hated life." But then he tried one more thing. The next thing that he tried was worship. After he tried everything else that this world had to offer, he came up empty and he turned to God, and only then did he realize the purpose in life. I tell you, I expect to see Solomon in heaven one day, because even though he wasted much of his life in sin, here in chapter 12 he shares a realization. After trying everything else, he says, hear the conclusion of the matter: "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man." Solomon said, friends, that's what life is all about. Friends, man may earn $1 billion and yet his life be a waste. A man may win the Nobel Peace Prize and yet his life be a waste. A man may find a cure for cancer and the common cold and yet his life be a waste. Fearing God and keeping His commandments, that is what life is all about.